was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So immediately, we're going to talk about a man named Lazarus, and we're going to make sure we know who this Lazarus is. This is Mary's brother. This is Martha's brother. This is the same Mary that came and opened up that oil and poured it out onto the Lord and dried his feet with her hair. Now, nowhere in Scripture does that say that that's what you're supposed to do, but that's just what Mary decided she was going to do, man. She'll wipe it up with her hair. Why? Sometimes when you're that grateful, you'll do things you ain't got no reason for. That's how moved she was by the Lord. Oh, I got to wipe it up with something. I'll do it with my own hair. And of course, that's never anything God has ever asked us to do. But again, in the right circumstances of gratitude, we'll do all sorts of weird stuff. But they had to clarify, this Mary, therefore his sisters, this is verse 3, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now I want you to imagine for a second being in Mary and Martha's position, which for all of us shouldn't be all that hard. We have all prayed that the Lord sustained life in somebody. We have all prayed for God to do healing, for God to work in the lives of somebody. We have all been in a desperate hour begging God to do something. And in this particular case, we see the relationship. Not only did they love Jesus, these three siblings love Jesus, but this verse clarifies that Jesus loved them back. And for all the countless people that Christ had healed, they're saying, please, come save your friend. Come save this one that you love. Modern day scholars always try to put where the Bible talks about one man loving another one into a weird light. Listen, it is perfectly okay for us to love each other. You understand? There's nothing untoward about two folks loving each other. Oh, I see how... No. See, then this hyper, strict, tough, every man's a monolith, everyone's a statue, we're all Alexander the Great and we're untouchable stone. Absolutely, that does look weird. However, in a world where two people can form a friendship, love is expected. You know, we so often we think, well, I desperately love this person. This must be the romantic kind. No, you can desperately love each other. Was David and Jonathan's souls not knit together? Sometimes you got a friend that's that close. Sometimes you got somebody that you care about. Now, how close these two were, I don't know. But when the Lord loves somebody, he loves somebody. And when somebody loves the Lord, they have no problem reaching out to him and asking him for help. And that's exactly what they did. And they made the request, Lord, Lazarus, your friend is sick. The one whom you love is sick. And we don't see the request there, but very much we can all agree the request is implied. Come, do that thing you've done for countless others. I mean, the Bible talks about how the book couldn't contain all of the miracles he's done. All of the things he did, they couldn't write it all down. For all those people, Lord, will you come and help Lazarus? There was love. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they loved him. This is not their first brush with Jesus. They'd received miracles at his hand before. Their very lives themselves were changed by Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he loved them back. The Bible says it so. He loved them too. There was a perfect relationship there. And so often we look at our relationship. Lord, you died on the cross for my sins. I love you desperately. Jesus died on the cross for me and I love Jesus. And though I've never had a physical conversation with him, he is nearest and dearest to my soul for what he has done for me. And what he and the Father continue to do. And what the Holy Spirit does day in and day out for me. I love him. And the evidence of his blood on that cross. The daily care and watching over me that he does. proves His love for me. So if I've got a problem, who can I take it to? I take it to the Lord. Now that doesn't mean we don't also consult a doctor, go over here and do this, do that, take our medicine. That doesn't mean we don't do those things. But I tell you what, I'm going to pray the Lord helps me out with it. I'm going to trust more in the Lord than I can anything else. Anybody here, you ever been disappointed by a doctor? Yeah, you don't even bother, I already know. Don't even bother raising your hand, I already know. It's every single last one of us been disappointed by a doctor. Never been disappointed by my Lord. Wait, so you're telling me He's never said no? Oh no, Lord says no to me all the time. I'm like a 5-year-old the amount of times I get the word no. But you know what I also get? I get to see why. Not every time, but I get to see why. I get to look back and say, Lord, had you not said no, I would have never experienced this. I would have never seen this. I would have never been there for that. This wouldn't have happened. Lord, though it hurt me, Lord, though it tore me apart, man, this would have never happened without you. We need to take to the Lord everything we have, knowing that we love Him and He loves us. And there's nothing wrong with the expectation of, well, I'm taking it to God the Father, the creator of all things, the most powerful that has ever been. God can do anything, and we got to come to Him with a little bit of comfort in that. That whatever the Lord decides to do, He's going to do for good what He views as good. Maybe not me, but He's going to work the good and the bad together for the good to come out. So whatever His way is, whether He says yes, no, or wait, the best possible outcome is going to come out of it. We can have that expectation of the best possible outcome. As we talked about in our Sunday school class, we just can't expect God to give us exactly what we want all the time. The Bible says it's possible for us to ask amiss. You know, Lord, can I have $2 trillion, the world's fastest car, and the ability to fly? You're going to get a no. Or not. Who knows? Maybe the Lord give it to you just to teach you a lesson. I don't know. But we can't sit there and say, Lord, You're being unkind by not giving me what I want. Instead, He may provide in ways, but we can't have expectations when we go to the Lord. When I put it into His hands, I expect the best possible outcome because He's the only one who would know what that is. And He is the only one who can work out all things. And He knows what is important. He healed others. Why can't He heal me? He saved others. Why can't He save this person? We can come to the Lord with that expectation. Lord, whatever You decide to do. But again, as we talked about in Sunday school class, it's all about His will. It's all about His will. There's a balance there. The problem came in this for them. It's not a real problem, but to them it very much is a problem. Just like to us, this thing is very much a problem for us. They had to wait. Verse 6, when He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Doesn't that just drive you nuts? When you're not at the top of God's to-do list. Now, Lord, don't you understand? Me. I. Mine. Lord, this is my... I don't have my watch. This is my clock. And my clock says it's me time. I asked You for this, and I need it yesterday. So where are You? And one day goes by, and 2 days goes by, before He decides He's going to go back. Now again, the Lord didn't decide 2 days later, oh, I guess now is a good time. No, He knew what He was doing. We knew what He was doing back when He said, this is to bring honor and glory to God. Because I'm going to go, and I'm going to heal him. And everyone's going to know who I am. Right? When you sit there and you can cure an issue of blood, that's great. But man, to bring somebody back from the dead, to pull them out of this tomb that's been in there for 4 days, everyone's going to know. So he goes. Waits 2 days, and they're waiting 2 days, and by the time the Lord gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He's been dead for 4 days. He is in the tomb. One of the sisters would go on to say, Lord, surely he stinketh. We can't open that up. Or says, pull back the stone. We're not going to do that, Lord, no. But all the same, they did. They had to wait, though. When we look at this interaction, when the Lord shows up, verse 8 and verse 9, they're, Lord, we can't go back to Judea. They're going to try to kill you there. We go back there, they'll stone you. And the Lord says, well, it's because they walk in darkness, but I'm the light. And verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Because the Lord says, verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Well, Lord, if he's sleeping. Don't we do that all the time? How are the kids? Oh, the man, little Johnny, he was sick last night. Well, what's he doing now? Why, he's still asleep. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He's still asleep. Oh, he's still asleep. Well, good. Let him sleep. Right? If he's sick, what do? You take a nap. I grew up with chronic migraines as a kid. That was the only way to get rid of them. Two pills and a good nap. And that was the only thing I could do to get rid of them. Oh, good, sleep. Lord goes, no, that's not what I mean by sleep. He's passed. Tells him he died. Now again, we see sometimes when the Lord, when the Lord brings somebody back, he always refers to them as having slept. Now we'll look at that at some other Bible study time. But we talked about this recently. There's this idea that when somebody dies, they lay with their body. And their soul stays there until the Lord calls them out. It's called soul sleep. The only time you ever see it is when the Lord's about to bring somebody back from the dead. And that's probably what was going on. Lazarus probably didn't experience heaven and then was able to come down. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I can't say for sure. But the Lord says he's sleeping. Why? Because he's about to go wake him up. He did that before with that young girl. Oh, she sleepeth. He brings her back up. So listen, when we see this, he's going to die. He's already passed. He's already died. Verse 17, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's about an eighth of a mile. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And some of us, we get there. Some of us are this sister. Lord, had you just answered me, this wouldn't have happened. And you know what? Though we understand that it is each and every last one of our final act on earth to die, even though we know we're going to get sick, sometimes we still look at it like it's not fair. When God said we would die when we ate the fruit, what did that mean? That we would die. It also meant that we would get sick, injured, that we would deal with chronic pain, that we would deal with fatigue, that we would have up days and down days and low days, and we would have moments of extreme happiness, and there would be days of extreme sadness, there would be emotional irregularity, there would be all sorts of problems that came with having a sin nature. And the Lord put it, we would die. And sure enough, as sin entered into the world, we developed each and every last one of those problems. From the sniffles to the grave, we open the door to every possibility of illness. And we would say that it is part of the contract. If you eat the fruit, this will happen. Well, we ate the fruit, so this part of the contract is being fulfilled. Your knees hurt, your back hurts, your body hurts, you wait for procedures. These things happen. We pray for the health of others as well as we pray for our own health. Lord, please help. Oh, but Lord, if you'd have just answered, that would have never happened. As a matter of fact, Lazarus would have died. If I develop a bad illness tomorrow, and I pray, Lord, please let it pass from me, and I die as a result of it, Lord didn't fail to prevent me from dying. I was always going to die. A year from now, 7 years from now, 70 years from now, who knows? The bottom line is this, is that we live in the land of the dying. Oh, but Lord, if you'd have just what? Sure, and we would all sit there and say, hey, I wish everybody I loved would die after me. Wouldn't that just be the sweet spot? If everybody you loved couldn't die until after, it would be like coming to a new church and telling everybody they had to live for the next 20 years. And that you would tell them off if they didn't. You know? Some folks are just going to do whatever they want to do anyway. Man, we've been there as a church. We've been there as a family. Lord, we prayed. You said no. Listen, we got to not look at that no as though it's an unfair thing. As we continue on with our reading, verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now you look at what Martha is going through. Martha has lost her brother. Martha is mourning. Where's Mary? Mary didn't leave the house. Now, I'm not going to put any shadow on Mary. Maybe Mary was busy. Maybe Mary was weeping. Maybe she was angry. I don't know. But you look at what they were going through. They were going through grief. And what heart did Martha still have? I believe you're the Christ. I believe that whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. I believe. There have been moments, and there will be moments in our lives where we don't get the answer we want, or we're begging for the Lord to answer in the way that we want. And we simply have to look at the Lord and say, Father, whatever it is that you do, I believe. I believe. It can be some of the hardest words to say. And in many cases, it can seem almost unfair. Lord, why all this constant trouble? Why all this constant trial? We must look at him still and say, I believe. Verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her. And when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at her feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And we see the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. The Bible also says we have a Lord who's not untouched by our infirmities. See, if we served an uncaring and compassionless God, we would still be able to say, well, you ought to believe in him, you ought to trust in him. But we don't serve a compassionless God. We serve a God who is touched by the breaking of our heart and the sorrows that we have. And let's face it, this ain't heaven. Bad stuff's going to happen. And he's going to have to watch over and heal and take care of. But a lot of times he's just going to have to let nature run its course and things have to happen. As that old phrase says, ain't none of us getting out of here alive barring the rapture. Illnesses must happen. Why? Because this is flesh. Now, can the Lord heal? Absolutely. But when he says no, don't even think for a second that it is without compassion. Jesus wasn't sitting there saying, now watch, boys, we're going to play a game with these Jews, and we're going to go down there, and I'm going to raise him from the dead, and everyone's going to think how wonderful I am, and everyone's going to think how fantastic I am. He wasn't feeding his ego. He was weeping because he saw their sorrow. He saw Mary and Martha's sorrow, and he himself having a human body, felt sorrow. When you go through hard times, you do not go through them alone. Just as the Lord commands us to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep, you better believe God is doing the same for you. You are His child. I didn't ask your permission to use this illustration, but having kids, sometimes things that are precious to you get destroyed. And Danielle experienced that this week. And it's hard, you know, it's just stuff, right? We always say that it's just stuff. But it's hard to sit there and, you know, have something that means something to you get damaged. And she apologized. She goes, "I'm sorry, I'm getting so upset about this." And I said, "You know what? I feel you. Wasn't my thing, wasn't something that was valuable to me, wasn't something that was directly connected to me. But my heart's breaking for you. My heart broke for her. That's miserable, that's sad." Listen, we ought to have that. We ought to do that as often as possible. Sometimes when great things happen to people, we get jealous instead of rejoicing for them. We ought to rejoice. Because you better believe when God blesses you, He's rejoicing. Oh man, he's got no idea what's coming today. He doesn't know what today is. She doesn't know what I'm putting in her way today. Ah, she's going to love this. And then in those moments when tears are in your eyes, I wonder how often the Lord shed a tear with you. He cares. He has compassion. I'd said before, if God was compassionless, we should still trust Him. But we don't have just a compassionless God. So even more so, we ought to trust Him and we ought to love Him, knowing that He wouldn't put us through a single thing He wouldn't go through with us. And sometimes we have to wait to the other side. And sometimes what He's doing is the best for somebody else. And we just got to be patient, and patience is hard. They that wait have a hard wait. They that are told no, sometimes don't like it. They had to wait through the sickness of their brother, taking care of him and watching over him. They had to wait. Eventually when he died, they said, "That's it. That's the end of the story. There's nothing that can happen now." And then they're like, "Well, maybe the Lord will show up and He can bring him." And then, "No, we gotta take him now. We gotta put him in the tomb." And in their hearts and in their minds, it was very easy for them to have probably come to the conclusion that that's it. There's nothing else that happens. There will come a day for each of us when we must leave people behind. And I try to put myself into that position whenever I'm in grief. That I would want to react for them the way I would want to react for them the way I would want them to react for me. And in that, you know, be happy. If anything were to happen to me, be happy that I'm able to go and walk on streets that aren't filled with trash. You know what I'd like? You know what I'd like to do? And it's been a while, you know, Michigan, you don't get to travel much. I'd like to walk outside of a building and not smell marijuana. I'm looking forward to it. Now you said, well, you'd be a little picky. No, I'd love that. You know what I'd love? I'd love to be able to go up and down the street and not smell the exhaust from all these cars. I'd like to not see hypodermic needles laying around in the street and in the playgrounds. I would love to be able to kind of not have to worry about my health or my body. I'd love a lot of things that are coming in heaven. And every now and then when one of us heads over there, we need to rejoice for them. Oh, it'll break our hearts, absolutely. But we need to rejoice. We need to celebrate them on home, and I believe we do that here as a church. I kind of like the way we approach those things here when we have lost a friend, a beloved family member, the way we celebrate their life, the way we rejoice in these things. In them, there was pain. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40. And verse 28. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. Normally I would just read it or summarize it. It says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." That even in the times when there's nothing left in the tank, emotionally or physically, God is there to give you a refill. That God can heal you. He can't put things back to the way they were, but He can fix you. He can help you. He can strengthen you. You see that? This was, even the youths shall run out of energy. Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, we see these kids, man, they're flying all over the place. They never seem to run out of energy. That reminds me of a joke I told yesterday. A guy went to go visit his buddy who was a farmer. And his buddy was a dairy farmer, and he had a decent amount of cows, and they weren't being too careful, and a bunch of their cows had given birth to a bunch of calves. So the farm was just overrun by calves. And the calves were running all over the place, and they were kind of making the cows anxious, and they were making the farm hands anxious, and the guy who went to go visit him was getting, "These guys are everywhere. They're just running and tearing stuff up. Aren't you concerned?" And the farmer looked completely unbothered. He goes, "Well, what makes them do that?" And he goes, "Well, most likely what's happened is they've had too much caffeine." That had no part in a sermon. There was no reason to put that in a sermon. None. Even those who are young run out of energy. Even those who've run well and run far and done good will find themselves tapped out. See, there was this idea that if anything bad ever happened to anybody, it was 100%... because somebody in the situation had sinned. And the Bible talks about that. When somebody had, a child had fallen ill, well, Lord, whose fault was it? Was it the mother or the father that sinned that caused God to curse this child? And the Lord says, neither. Nothing to do with that. Most of the time when bad things happen here on earth, it's not because God's cursing somebody. Now, does that happen? Oh, we got a whole book full of that happening. But is it always the case? No. Sometimes it's just the wearing out of the body. Sometimes it's just what happens with genetics and illnesses. We're still learning about all the things that afflict men. But there's a lot of things. So at any given time, you may find yourself facing something that has pulled almost everything out of you. And you'll sit there and you'll be worn out. But what does the Scripture say? We serve a God who does not grow weary. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Hey, Lord, listen, I'm struggling. All right, well, let me help you. By giving me everything I ask for? No. But I'm going to help you. And we'll cover this. Don't think that just because God says no, that there's not a whole lot of yes. But I'm talking about when you got it pulled out of you like Mary and Martha. And you're weeping and everyone around you is weeping. And they're struggling and they're trying. And there's doctor visit after doctor visit. And there's waiting for test results. And you do all this waiting and you do all this test just for some young doctor to come up to you and say, "Well, I don't know. You know, it could be this, could be that." You hit a certain age and it's just, "Well, you are aging." Isn't that the most comforting thing you've ever heard? I've never heard it, but people tell me, well, they say it was just, it's because I've got an old body. Oh, come on. Come on. Talk about lazy diagnoses, right? I was like back in the height of 2020. Well, my arm fell off. Well, that's probably COVID, you know? What happened? Oh, my eyes turned green. My fingers stretched out 2 inches. And this leg turned into a chicken leg. Oh, that sounds like COVID. That definitely sounds like COVID. They don't always have the answers, and it's frustrating. In those moments of frustration, in those moments of grief, in those moments of troubles and trials, in those moments of, Lord, it just kind of seems like it's stacking on, He'll renew your strength. Why? Because He never runs out of it. He's got plenty of it. And He's got no problem topping you back up. And He's got no problem helping you find peace. And He's got no problem helping you make sense of things. God can and will do those things for those that wait upon Him. It's that wait. Wait, that's hard. I want it now, Lord. I want it to make sense now. How can I feel like I'm in control of everything if things aren't going my way? Well, that's the magic. You're not in control of anything. We can't number our hairs. We can't grow ourselves an inch. We can't do anything. We are at the mercy of these vessels. We are at the mercy of the curse that has been put upon this earth. But what God can do and what He will do is renew our strength. I like that phrase, shall mount up with wings as eagles. Not a lot of people know this about eagles, but eagles, when they get sick, there's this thing that happens. I mean, they stay down on the ground. And they'll lay down there. Now, an eagle that can't fly dies. It's got to hunt. It's got to eat. And it'll begin to molt. It'll begin to look quite pathetic. And most of the time when this happens to them, they die that way. But every now and then, either because it can find food or whatever have you, it begins to heal. And the color comes back to the wings and the strength comes back to the body and all of a sudden it can fly. And every time I read this, I think about that I read in the documentary or I watched the documentary of those eagles getting sick and all of a sudden just very few of them are able to get up and they come back. And I think, what a beautiful picture. Because sometimes I've been there and sometimes you've been there. Well, we're down. We can't fly. We can't function. We can't do the things we would normally do. And we're turning to the doctors and the doctors are throwing pills in us like dog treats. And we're lapping them up and there's nothing that's going on. And they're saying, hey, change your diet. Change this. Change that. Get out. Have function. Do this. Do that. And none of the things are working. But then when we turn to the Lord and we wait upon Him and we say, Lord, whatever You would do, I'm here for. Just help me. Just help me. Sometimes the cup is bitter. Sometimes the wait is long. But we must all the same wait upon Him. And we will find energy where we shouldn't have it. We'll find peace when we shouldn't have it. And oh, the mercy that will be ours. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Good things. Man, I can't sit there and put my finger on why God answers my request the way He does. But every time I've looked back and I said, Lord, thank You. Thank You for what You did. I probably would have done it differently, but I probably would have made a mess of it. We can ask God for whatever we need, and there'll be an answer. You don't get that a lot, do you? Sometimes you'll reach out. Man, if your insurance company wants to get a hold of you, they're going to get a hold of you, aren't they? But if you want to get a hold of your insurance company, what happens? Right? If you wanted to ask a question about a warranty on your car, right, it might take you a few days to get to the right person. But I tell you what, if there was a problem with the bill or whatever have you, that car company's calling you, right? If you got something going on with your lease and you have a question about it, nobody might know the answer. But man, if they needed to ask you a question, they're going to get a hold of the right person. The world's not always, the world's nowhere near as good as God is. We're going to get an answer. And that answer is going to be good. Now, it might not be the way we want it. You know, Lord, I want bread. And we get bread. You know? Lord, I want a fish. You ever see them process those tuna? You ever see those, they pull them out? You ever see them process tuna? Those fish are huge when they pull them out. Right? They're huge. I want a fish. And the Lord says, well, here's some fish for your dinner. It's going to be good. We can ask God. We can go to Him. And again, He is one who is touched with our infirmities. We see, He calls us evil because we're sinful. If we, being sinful creatures, will take care of our children, what makes you think God's not going to do more? He will. God will take care of us. He will. He will answer our prayers. And He will talk with us. And He will have answers for us in His Word. And He will take care of these things. But we must be patient. We must rely on Him. And oh, we must have faith. We must have faith. Some people ask as though they don't believe. We've got some projects going on up in the church. I'm really excited about the baptistry. I'm really excited about revamping some of the classrooms downstairs. And I'm really excited about these things. Why? Because I've been praying that the Lord save souls. Now here's the thing. I can't convince souls into salvation. Can't do it. But you know what I can do? I can prepare everything else. Right? I'm ready for it. Praying the Lord adds to our church. And what must we do when the Lord adds to our church? Well, we better have an education process to teach them. So therefore, 4 classrooms and 2 discipleship rooms. Which, by the way, here in the next month or so, we're going to be starting one. I'm telling you, we can't just ask God to do stuff. We've got to be prepared for the answer. What's that old phrase? You can't just pray for rain and not carry an umbrella around with you. And that's what a lot of people do. Oh, Lord, please! Please send this answer! And then maybe we'll go back. And once we see that He's serious, we'll prepare. No, let's show some faith. Let's prepare for the thing we're asking for. That's how boldly we're allowed to come before the throne. Not that we could, as we talked about this morning in our Sunday school class, bend God to our will. But that we can show our faith. Lord, this is Your work. I know this is Your will because it is the Great Commission, and I will be doing it. We'll put the effort in. And I tell you what, we need to live our lives believing that God cares for our needs. God cares for our energy levels. He cares for the way your mind is working right now. I tell you what, going through hard times messes with your brain, don't it? It makes you think all kinds of things. And then you come out the other end and you go, whoo, that was bad. That was bad. I got real frustrated. I got real angry. I got real depressed about this. I got real insane about this. Yeah, I almost got manic about this thing. Man, that happens. And ever go through something? Lord, please help me get through this. But the entire time you're white knuckling thinking you're going to die. Hey, it happens. It is in those moments we drop everything and we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I love You. Help me. Help me. And the Lord answers our prayers. And He takes care of us. And He makes us to feel His presence. What we have to remember is that yes, God will provide the things we need. And we must ask Him and have faith in His ability to deliver. Number 2, when we get that dreaded no, we need to realize that that no ain't for nothing. I knew a guy one time, he gave me this parenting advice. Sometimes you got to say no to your kids just for the sake of saying no to them. That never made any sense to me. If it's good for them and it's okay, why yes? I would never say no just to teach them the word no. Right? Kids, you know the word no, right? Okay. Know the word no. You teach them the word no. There's going to be some things they ask for. The answer is no. Dad, can I jump off the top stairs onto the bottom onto this pile of pillows? No. No's going to come up. That was me, not them, by the way. That was me asking my parents. Listen, God doesn't just tell us no so we can learn the word no. God doesn't tell us no for fun. God doesn't tell us no to play games with us. He says no because it fits. He says no because it leads to the best possible outcome. And though in the moment there's tears in our eyes and bees in our brain, we must understand. He doesn't say no for fun. That no ain't for nothing. There's a purpose to it and a reason for it. We must remember that verse that God works all things together. And I'll tell you what, you'll drive yourself crazy. I know I have. Drive yourself crazy going, all right, what piece of the puzzle is this? How does that fit in? My mother-in-law got me this puzzle. I think I've mentioned it before. I am afraid to take it apart because it was such a pain in the neck to put together. It's just a little thing. And I love it. It's a beautiful puzzle. I'm grateful for it. But it was terrifying because it wasn't regular puzzle pieces. It was like there was a sword. There was a knight in armor. And it all fit into the puzzle somewhere. And then along the corners were the chess pieces, were the little guys, right? The knight, the rooks, the pawns. They're all over the corners of the board, so you could pull those off and play. But the pieces weren't normal, and it was all one or two colors, right? It was a nightmare, because I'm sitting there looking at this knight in armor going, okay, well, is this one of the playing pieces? Or does this go in here somewhere? And sometimes we do that. We pull out little things. Well, Lord, you know, I was supposed to do this, and then this illness came along. Or, Lord, I'm dealing with these people because all I'm looking to do is get into the doctor to see this. Or, Lord, I asked you to heal this person, and that didn't happen. Lord, I asked you to save this person, and that's not happening. We get into that. Well, how does this work out for good? I was like, I sat there. I was looking at those pieces. How does this cannon fit into a puzzle? We don't always get to know. It doesn't always make sense. But rest assured, when all the pieces are on the table, you're going to be able to look at it and say, that. And I sweat and I puzzled and I fretted over this thing. And yeah, it hurt. But that. And in the end, the picture becomes clear. The squares, the pieces, the whole thing's put together. If you realize, what a wonderful thing. What a beautiful tapestry my life was. And though certain experiences hurt me, it's better. Now, I think of metalworking, right? When Jane is in there, she's beating on that hammer, she's beating on that metal. I bet that metal never once said thank you. Sat there, put it in the fire. It's biblical language. To be tried, to be purified. How do they purify silver? They melt it. And then you bring out, you're trying to form something, you're trying to shape something. Bang, 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 bang. You put it back in the fire. Bang, 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 bang. Now, during the process, you hate it. During the process, you're sitting there going, Lord, where? How strong do you need me to be? How sharp do you need me to be? What are you planning on doing with all this? Hey, absolutely. But then when you sit there in the end and you see what God has done, the story that He has told in your life, you all. And some of us, we might not be able to see the full picture until we get on the other side of glory, but I'm promising you, the things that God has done in your life, the things that you've had to go through, if you wait on the Lord and you trust Him, will be just another crown, just another reward you can bring forward to Him and say, I never would have made this through without you. I never would have survived this. This thing where, hey, yeah, I did a good thing. Hey, yeah, I kept it together. Hey, yeah, that's fine, but it never would have happened without you. We get to lay that at His feet. And when the fire comes through, we see, oh, that trial's turned some things into gold and silver. That frustration has turned into precious stones. I see it now. Maybe it's here, maybe it's there. One day you'll see it.
God is a sympathetic and loving God who cares for you. He would never put you through the pain unless he had to. He would never put you through the frustration, never put you into that position unless you needed to be there. Life's hard, but it is better with the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you show us in every situation and everything our deep need for you. Lord, help us to see your hand moving in our troubles and trials, Lord, our aches and our pains. And Father, I pray, as we always pray, the Lord, you just take the obstacles away. The Lord, you give healing. The Lord, you give answers and understanding. The Lord, you prolong life for as long as you're fit. Lord, just we pray all these things, as always, in your will. Lord, in respects to that will, that plan that you have for all of us. Lord, help us to come to you, to see our need for you, to obey you. But Lord, help us always see that the tears in our eyes so often match the tears in yours. Lord, we're grateful for your compassion, grateful for your mercy in life. Help us, Lord, to always see it.